amongst us. Dreamt a dream. In that dream, he saw that there was a group of people like this in a religious atmosphere. And people were misbehaving. There is something which is called adab tariqa, that traditionally it's actually a rule of the tariqa that at the presence of the sheikh people don't talk with each other, especially they don't raise their voices. In fact, as you know, there is a ayat in the Quran al-Karim that Allah Ta'ala reprimands, because it happened in the presence of Rasulullah also, people who raise their voices in the presence of Rasulullah. In Istanbul till today this rule exists. Rarely, if ever, people even whisper to each other when the Shaykh is there. In Istanbul, when we are eating, nobody talks. In fact, the tradition was that after the pilaf comes, you can talk. But in Istanbul you don't even talk, even when the pilaf comes. That you don't laugh, especially that if you smile, it's okay, but I mean, you don't go ha ha. And when you come, you salute actually the Shaykh and the Jama'at, but not necessarily jumping over people, coming to the Shaykh and kissing him and stuff. So from far, you know, you salute him and you salute the Jama'at. You don't leave without permission. You don't get up when he's speaking, you don't get up and leave. But all this, in fact, Sefer Baba thought that I was a very strange sheikh because I was lighting the cigarettes of my dervishes. This we don't do here. We don't do here because I don't want it that way. You are my children, you are my friends, we are all the same here. And I think there are more important things than that. For instance, it's also in Istanbul that during the time of Muzaffar Effendi, the children were behaving exactly as they are behaving here. Misbehaving sometimes. I remember that the kids, little kids, used to play football in the masjid, you know, and the dervishes complained to Muzaffar Effendi and said that at the time of Fakhreddin Effendi, things like that didn't happen at the time of Vasudeva. There were no children. There were about 14, 15 people, you know, in the dargah. You know. And he, I remember, shouted at him and said, "Well, go and complain to him that his tomb is right on the corner there." We let our children play because our intention is that our children should like to be here, so that hopefully when they get older, they will also continue coming here. But that's not what I want to talk about today. I wanted to talk about to you about listening. The importance of listening. I don't know if any of you realize that our lives really are controlled with what we hear. We hear orders. Do this, do that, do the other. From our parents, from our wives, from our husbands, from our bosses, from the government, from the police. We have instructions from our sheikhs, from our teachers. We have suggestions. We have kind words, we have loving words, and we have reprimands, curses, unkind words, and so much more, including not only words, but Allah Ta'ala has also created certain sounds for us to remind of Himself to us. I mean, it pleases us when we are next to a lake and we hear little shh or running water, or the gentle wind when the leaves create this certain shh kind of a voice, or the birds warbling. Which pleases us, gives us peace. Then there is the thunder and the pattering of the rain, the howling of the wind in the storms, which reminds one's weakness, one's helplessness, and the strength and the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. Then there are human created sounds, mostly noises, terrible sounds of grass cutters, which every Saturday we suffer when our neighbor for hours cutting the lawn, and aeroplane sounds, car sounds, sounds of machine guns, bangs of bombs. And then there is music, of course. But there is music and music. Often what our children listen is a terrible noise and terrible rhythm which makes one's flesh crawl. But some people like it. They feel that it excites them. You know, they go those new dances, right? And crazy movements around. That takes away one's humanity. One turns into an animal. And then there is music which makes you come close to Allah Ta'ala. So all those sounds and words affect us enormously. And Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, when you hear sounds or people negating my signs, don't listen to it and leave. His ayats are what he approves, what he likes, what he wants us to do. So whenever a sound or a word makes the right wrong and the wrong right, we are not supposed to listen to it. There is a hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he encountered such a situation, he plugged his ears, put his fingers into his ears. There is another interesting hadith that he addresses Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhahu, and he says, "Ya Ali, you are not responsible of what you experience." So it's not only sound, but also sight or any kind of sensation. But you are responsible of what you make of it. Because those things happen around us. People say things, sounds appear. But how do we receive it? How do we react to it? When somebody says what we know that Allah says do, and that person says don't, you cannot prevent him from saying what he says. But do you go along with him, or do you leave, or you oppose it? So you are responsible of you what you make out of it. Sounds, words, are shadows of reality. When I say this is a table, the table, the word table, is the shadow, is the plan of that object here, which is reality. But sometimes words do not have corresponding reality as the table. This is Enver. Enver, the name of Enver, is, if you wish, the plan which the architect makes before he builds the building. So he is the building. The word is the plan, when I say shadow. But there are certain things, when I say Allah, when I say hell, or paradise, or the hereafter, or angels. So, but you see, then the word becomes more important than the reality. That it is a nebulous concept. It's a thought. And you make whatever you want to make of it. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, I am the way what you think of me. Some people thought of him as an image and they made images. Fine. Some people thought of him as kind, so he's kind. Some people think of him as wrathful and angry and punishing, so he becomes wrathful, angry and punishing. But one thing is a fact to make you understand the importance of what you hear, what you listen, and how careful you have to be when you listen something. So here I talk. There is no wire between my mouth and your ear. You can't see these sound waves going in the air, which hits your eardrum, which translates something to the brain, and the brain makes something out of it. But do you all understand the same thing of what I am saying now? Nobody can claim that. Some, they don't even hear anything. Some hear it and lose it. Some hear it and retain it. Some who retains it can use it. But the one who hasn't heard cannot use it and benefit from it, or if it's a harmful word, suffer from it. That is why that we have to understand that there are certain things which one has to listen, and there are certain things which one has to plug one's ears to. Lies, gossip, sacrilege, or propagating, saying that something is right when something is wrong, or saying that if Allah says something is wrong, you claim that it is right. Why listen to terrible nerve-wracking noises? Why be somewhere where you hear machine guns and bombs? And then there are things which is an obligation for us to listen. And whoever practices this obligation profits from it. The one who doesn't endangers himself for not listening to it. A child has to listen to his or her parents. A student has to listen to his teacher. Somebody, which is all of us, who does not know something which he needs to know and has found somebody who knows that thing which he needs to know and who is willing to tell it to him, should definitely listen to him. And if they don't, they will suffer for it. They will be the losers for it, and they may even be in danger for not listening. And vice versa, if somebody comes and lies and cheats and curses and incites you to violence, and if you listen to him, you certainly will endanger yourself, even risk to die for it. And if somebody tells you what Allah says is wrong, you also are in danger of losing both this life and in the hereafter. We are what we hear. Most of our knowledge is knowledge of the things which we have not seen, which we have not touched, which we have not tasted, which we don't know, and maybe we will never know ourselves. Most of our knowledge, you must admit, is hearsay. And as the word itself signifies, that it is that what we have heard from somebody else. And it definitely forms our personality, forms our character, influences our actions, and influences our lives. So therefore, we have to really be careful what we hear. And we really have to be very careful what we make of it. Because as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that we will be responsible both in this world and in the hereafter of what we make, of what we hear. Salaamu alaikum.